Yeah, good. What a humble expression from Pastor, huh? Good way to teach us with your life. Thank you. Wow. Woohoo. Getting over feelings and hurt and bitterness isn't as hard as we think. Honestly, when he sees Jesus, he's following Jesus. That something the Holy Spirit gave me a long time ago was this one phrase, and I want you to catch it, and then we'll just move on to this morning. But, well, we're already there. But, and Sean, I don't know where you went, but I love you, buddy. I do. I love you. What a heart you got. And thanks for breaking out that violin all weekend. You don't know, but that's my personal favorite instrument to be mixed into worship. And thank you. So here's this thing that Holy Spirit gave me. If people really knew him, were in love with him and filled with him, they wouldn't do the things they do or say the things they say. And that should matter more than what they did. You get what I'm saying? We as believers should be more concerned about people needing to grow up into him and not being filled with him and overflowing with him than the thing that they did. Jesus handled it this way. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Man, I learned from that. Like if they really knew, they wouldn't have been doing what they were doing. If they really saw, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. Come on, that's mercy that triumphs over judgment. That's love that covers a multitude of sin. That's not enabling. That's life-changing. Because there's a difference between right and wrong and righteousness. Like when you're right, somebody's wrong. Righteousness gives the power for wrong things to be made right. When you're right, it just makes something wrong. When you're righteous, it gives people the chance to change. Are you with me? Come on, he judges us in righteousness, not rightness. If he judges us in rightness, we have something to make up for that we can't. If he judges us in righteousness, the wrong are made right. Our sin was red as scarlet, now we're white as snow. You get it? The gospel's powerful. Now look, if God gave us that kind of mercy through the blood of Jesus and washed us clean as if we've never sinned, how can we just take personal the things that people do that cross our lines? I would say God just wants us to get rid of the lines. If God had lines, we crossed them. He's not indifferent. He doesn't give up. He doesn't say, well, you waited too long. Well, see, you shared... Who should, says, Sean shared about the prodigal son a little bit, right? Was it Sean this morning? Or, oh, it was you. I knew I heard the prodigal son because I was like, and then we sang Good, Good Father. See, the prodigal son, we call it the story of the prodigal son because it's relatable and a lot of us relate to the prodigal son and it's a story that he has somewhere to return, but it'd be no story without the father. If you don't have that father, if you just have any other father, you don't have that story. It has to be the father. Because that son came back and it wasn't about where have you been and what do you mean you squandered the inheritance? You've laid with women, you've slept with hogs, you're my son, you've defamed my name. What are you doing? Man, we ought to get this. See, God never taught us to be the way we've been. The fall of man taught us that. The wisdom of the world taught us that. And the biggest mistake is we think it's normal. And heaven doesn't even know what we're doing. There's no unforgiveness in heaven. There's no bickering and backbiting in heaven. There's no animosity and discouragement and dissension in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you lay down your life? How do you deny yourself? How do you pick up your cross, follow Jesus, love not your own life unto death, die to the old, put on the new, and still live the same? Woo! Come on, there's a surrender that God's asking for every one of us. If people really knew who he was and really saw him clear and were filled with his spirit, they wouldn't do the things that they do. Now here's the second deception. When you react to what people do, you become a product of what they did. There's no way around it. All of a sudden, your heart's in a position it would never be in if they wouldn't have done it. So they're actually the one that's fashioning you, even though you think you're rejecting them or resisting them. They're actually shaping you in the process. And you're in a position you would never be if you were in true forgiveness. Unforgiveness is a wretched, terrible thing because it keeps the offense alive. Unforgiveness makes it as if it never happened. And that's what the blood of Jesus does. It speaks a better thing. Are you with me? Guys, I've never saw anybody produce good fruit if they were living in the flesh, in unforgiveness, natural reasoning, and just right and wrong. And he said, she said, well, they shouldn't have. See, the facts of the situation is where the feelings come from that are so pressing. It's running through the facts. It's the facts. It's the facts of what happened. And that becomes your story, your justification for your feelings. So that's the permission slip to be the way you are. But when you look at God, he's not that way. When you look at Jesus, he's never been that way. And that's why this road was so significant that Seth shared, because you could travel this way that's common to men. Broad is the road to destruction, the way that seemeth right to a man, but it leads to death. And then there's this narrow way, and it's difficult. And few are those who find it, but many are those who go to church. But few are those who find this road. And there's people sitting in church everywhere across this country today that have unresolved conflicts, issues, frustrations, hurts, memories, pain, and reasons for not manifesting Christ in their life. And none of those reasons are truth, even though they're fact. None of those reasons can stand in the presence of a righteous God. Are you with me? Come on, sorry, I'm always intense with you guys. It's a big deal. Here's your pastor being vulnerable and humble. He's got desires. He's got these things, these feelings that are trying to pull him over here. Why? Because of the facts of whatever he's thinking that happened. Give him permission to go there. But because God is love and Jesus is righteous, he doesn't even have that road. The only reason we have that road is because we were born into Adam and trained by the wisdom of the world. And we were born into Adam, and you must be born again. Come out of darkness into light. Come from blindness to true sight. See, the gospel is conversion and transformation. It's not a story that blesses you. It's not a story that takes you to heaven when you die. It's a story that puts truth back into your life, God's spirit, God's presence, purpose, and destiny. Born again is born again, as if you were never born before. So you die to the old and you live to the new, and all things are new. I bet that's mind, will, emotions, perspectives, motives. There's a way that seems right to a man. And that's the problem. It seems right. But it never produces Christ. And it keeps a man alone. And it keeps the man from dying and falling to the ground and springing up and bearing fruit. And all of a sudden you have a right to be the way you are. But the way you are isn't manifesting Christ. Not be mean. That is not born again. That is self-centered with a confession of Christ. Born again is what we're called to be. That is not a prayer that takes you to heaven. That's a new life through Jesus Christ. If all you did was pray a prayer to go to heaven, that's self-centered alone. That's just about you getting something from him, instead of becoming something because of him. Are you all good? Yes. Come on, this is the cross. This is what he paid for. This is why he gave his life. God made man. We had, I don't know how many sessions. They made me preach all day yesterday. I'm still a little wired. I guess you can tell. I got to drive home with Jesus today. It's going to be good. We hang out all the time. Oh, my goodness. We sure do. See, this matters. He's real. He's not the end of a movie scene. He's not a Bible story. He's not Christmas, Easter. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name above every name. He's the Son of God. He was and is to come. And he has chosen to live inside of us from the beginning. And when sin evicted him from his home, he took it under his own hands and power to deal with sin and move back in. Man, I don't know about you, but that's a big deal. Like, he really loves us. Like, he says, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, I love you, and you're more than you realize in me. That's what he's saying. And he paid the highest price. Come on. Why do we always think he just paid a price for a bunch of sinners? Wonder if he paid a price for a bunch of lost sons. Wonder if he paid a price to restore destiny, not just forgive sin. Wonder if he paid a price to empower you to live purpose instead of just make you clean. This cross is way more than forgiving me. It's getting me back on the starting line, giving me a present and a future. I don't have a past. He bought it. I'm not looking back. I'm not Lot's wife. I'm his bride. I'm looking up from whence comes my help. The past has nothing to do with who I am standing here. It's irrelevant to me that my dad was an alcoholic. My mother sick 40 years and died. It's irrelevant that all the things that happened along the way happened. It's irrelevant that I'm touched wrong when I'm young. It's irrelevant because I was touched right at age 33. And I have never looked back. Do you think everybody's treated me right since then? Do you think everything's gone the way I've hoped? Do you think everybody's made the right decision along the way? Do you think everybody's lived and pursued perfect peace? But you can have it when your life's not your own. When you wake up in the morning and nobody owes you a thing because you're complete and fulfilled in Christ and you owe no man anything but to love. Boy, if we get that, church, we will do some damage to the kingdom of darkness. And we will stay steadfast and consistent, and we'll stop titting for tatting. And he said, she said, well, I'm hurt. Well, I didn't like what pastor said. Well, the worship was a little. Well, I don't know why they. And all of a sudden, we won't even know how to think those petty things that 1,000 times over have stopped the fruit of the kingdom. And all of a sudden, we get good at doing church and fail to be her. That would be a problem. Are you all good? I'm just cheering you on. He paid for something amazing. Look, God made man with intention. It's undeniable. It's scriptural. He has purpose behind the creation of man. He didn't make you for you. He didn't make you to exist. He didn't make you to live your life. He made you to live inside of you and live his life through you, and you live as one. That got lost through sin, and Adam got separated from God, and we became gods unto ourselves. What was love before sin became self-centered and self-focused and self-justified. That's why it's so easy to be angry, because you think you have rights, but the only right you have is to be like him, to follow him, to live him. The only right in the heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, is for you to live Christ. Yeah? That's why abortion and that's why suicide and all these things are so tragic. People say, well, it's my life. I'll do with, well, it's my life. You're not telling me what to do with my life. It was never your life. It was always his life in you. And that got lost. And we were born into that lie. Every man was born into Adam. No identity. You didn't know who you were. From the time you can remember, you needed love, support. You needed value. You needed to feel like you fit in. You were self-conscious, self-focused. You were angry at a flip of a button. You were self-centered like me. From the time you were born. And at a very young age in, you found an identity that was nothing more than how you responded to how it unfolded. That's why you talk about your past so much. Because it fashioned you and molded you and shaped you, but your past is not the great potter. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Well, you don't know what it was like when I was growing up. Well, you don't know my story. Do you know his story? Or are you still finding yourself through yours? We all have stories. We could go through this room and you'd be amazed the stories in this small room. But at the end of the story, all we'll find out is who's been through the most hell. And then we'll sing, it's all about heaven. Where he's been and what he's been through is where you find you. Only ever will you find the true you in him. And only when you surrender and die can you truly live. Or that thing, that war, that fight he was talking about, which is very real. I'm so proud of him that he was vulnerable in front of the congregation, because what he's saying is this isn't about robotic stuff and feelings and being perfect. It's about being real and full of heart and pure, and the pure in heart will see God. It's about never giving in to that thing. It's about never following that road. Doesn't mean the road's not in front of you. It doesn't mean the temptation isn't there. Jesus himself was tempted at all points, yet without sin. Temptation's not sin. You have options. And what you want to grow into is a no crossroads Christianity where all you have is one road, one way, the. Are you with me? We don't have options. Well, I'm trying to forgive, but it was really hard, you know. Get off my back and give me time. These things are hard. It takes time sometimes, brother. I'm trying to forgive. What is that? You're in unforgiveness. You're justifying unforgiveness. Well, it takes that. Wonder if God was still trying to figure out if he forgives you. It either is or it isn't. If I can't find it in him, I don't ever want it in me. If the words I'm speaking, I can't fit in his mouth, then I ought to get them out of mine. How can we live Christ and think for ourselves? How can we live Christ and have rights to be something less than he's willing to provide and empower? If we couldn't live this way, he wouldn't write scripture like he does. He said, follow me, not sing to me. He said, follow me, not to pray to me when you're overwhelmed. Follow me. Not just pray to me when you have a list. Follow me. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. So if you're following him, it proves what you believe. If you're not following him, it proves what you believe. Are you with me? He's the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8, we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. 1 John 2, if any man says he abides in him, he ought to walk even as he walked. Ephesians 5, 1, walk in love just as Jesus loved. 1 John 2, if he loved us this way, ought we not love one another? For he who is perfected in love has no cause to stumble because of another. It's all scripture. I've read the book. But you know what's wrong with me? I believe it. And for 27 years, I've been believing it. And if any of that thing pops up that he described, I only have one road. There's a roadblock. You can't enter because of the gospel. And guess what happened to me over the years? Now, I'm not trying to condemn you or make you compare yourself to me. That thing he described this morning, I can't even relate to it anymore. Because I'm consumed with the way. I don't even have the road anymore. It's off the map. You don't have to believe me. Time will tell if I'm telling the truth. So I either am a weirdo and I have a little need to temporarily impress a small room and you go, whoa. And I go, ooh. Or I'm being sincere and legitimate and it's the way I'm living and I'm passionate about it because it's available and it's real and I don't want you to talk yourself out of it. Well, nobody can really. Well, you know what? Well, that's just him. Well, this isn't for everybody. Well, that's unattainable. If Jesus said, follow me, is it attainable?
Yes.
If I said, follow him, and he didn't say, follow him, you'd probably have to question it. But if he said, follow me, is it attainable?
Yes.
If he said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe in greater things, because I go to my Father to make sure you always have the fulfillment of promise. If Jesus said that, is it possible? All things are possible to them to believe. Let me quote to you Matthew 17. If you have faith, you'll say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will. And nothing will be impossible for you. Not God, you. Why? Because you're in God. He says he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask, think, or imagine by the power that worketh in us. I wonder what happened to all that scripture along the way. And I guess a loved one died, and we bumped into a little tragedy, and we had a rough road. We took it internal and personal. We even changed our view of God, and now God does, and sometimes he doesn't. Now he's a yes and no God instead of a yes and amen God. Now we've defined God through life instead of through his son and his word. Some of us actually believe he failed. Some of us can't sing he's a good father because who died? Oh, I'm being real. I've been around us for 27 years. I've been a pastor, man. I've heard everything in my office. I've seen a lot of tears and heard a lot of deception, a lot of self-centered deception. Not evil, not wicked, not hypocritical, just deception. We're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. That means if we get the knowledge, we can stop destruction. God is not ordaining destruction. He is not an emperor. Are you okay? Sorry, it's my last crack at y'all. And I'm getting in my car and driving home. And I'm going to have the time of my life for the rest of my life. And if a truck T-bones me on the way home, I'm not even going to die, so don't cry. Don't even cry. I'm so alive on the inside right now. It's been that way for a while. People either love me or they really don't like me. Yeah. People mock and scoff at what they don't understand. If your heart's not surrendered, I'm hard to be around. People feel like they want to be my friend. I'm hard to be a friend too. Because if you don't love Jesus, you'll get bothered by my life. It's just true. Because I don't compromise. I have no use for sin. It's like a third shoe. What would you do with a third shoe? I got 2 feet. No, I'm being real. I'm just telling you, I'm surrendered. And you can be surrendered. I'm not boasting in me. Honestly, I'm kind of out there now, so it doesn't matter if you believe me or not. I'm just trying to tell you it's possible. You could ask my wife, 27 years, I haven't talked her down, been negative or demeaning to my wife, haven't argued with her, haven't put her down or spoke one tone out of order for 27 years. It's not in me. She couldn't make me. I love her, and I've laid down my life. Are you following me? I didn't wake up for my wife to please me. I'm already pleased. I didn't wake up for my wife to fulfill me. I'm already fulfilled. I'm not living in idolatry. I'm not making people my answer. Now I can finally love you because I don't need you. Most of the time we say I love you, it means I need you. Don't hurt me. Don't jump ship. Don't pull out now. I'm finally doing good because of you. Don't change. That's what we say when we say I love you. That's why we can say I love you and still argue and be spiteful and cynical in our house and right after church. Argue over where we're going to eat. Fight in the car. True tension. Feeling. Food on every corner. Failing to be thankful. Just needing to go where I want to go. And why do we always got to go where you got to go? When do I ever get a chance to choose? And there's animosity in the car after church. Boy, we're going to turn the world around that way. It's called self-centeredness. Yeah, we're coming now. If you don't appreciate what I'm saying, you probably ought to leave now because it's going to get worse. No, I'm serious. It's about to get worse. Verse 13 of James 3. Why don't you look there with me? I don't need to be long. I'm telling you, we can do this. We can live this way. We can surrender. You can get alone with God and cry these things out and ask Holy Spirit to empower you if you believe and if you care. Watch this. If you don't do that, you don't care. If you're not seeking him, you're not hungry. If you're not pursuing him, you really don't want him. You want his protection. You want his blessing. You want his provision. You want heaven, but you don't want him. Come on, that's not mean. If you're not drawing near, you don't want to. Or you don't believe you can, and I'm telling you, you can, because he opened the door. Look at the prodigal son. He was as dirty as they come. And he was wearing a robe in no time. And he had a ring on his finger, a sign of covenant and unfailing love. And no matter how wrong he was, he belonged in the moment of repentance. You're not disqualified. It's impossible. The blood of Jesus says so. Don't sit here. Please don't sit here and fight what I'm saying because it's convicting your life. Don't get your heart hard in a message like this. Watch this. Watch this. I'm pleading with somebody. Don't get your heart hard in a message like this. Because one day you're going to stand before God and answer for your life. And it's going to be a sad day if you didn't follow your convictions and you didn't yield to truth. You know, many are going to say a lot of things on that day. It says many's love's going to grow cold because lawlessness abounds all around them. Lawlessness all around you. Lawlessness is abounding. People are going to hate one another. False voices are going to rise up. And because lawlessness abounds, the love of many. What is many? Hope it's not you. I hope it's not me. The love of many is going to grow cold. Why? Because the lawlessness justifies their reaction. But the whole reason you're on the earth is to love, not have an opinion. It's to love, not have an opinion. You're on the earth to love. And if we miss love, we miss the whole purpose of the cross. The whole reason he came is to restore who he is back inside of men so we can walk in love. It's not a weak position. It's the most powerful thing on the planet. Because men don't decide who you are. Men don't decide how you are. Jesus settled it. You don't have self-consciousness. You don't have the fear of man. Your esteem is healthy. It's not vanity. It's not pride. You have confidence. Confidence and pride are two different things. Are you with me? You at James 3?
Yes.
Can you just take one more? Can you take one more exhortation? This is for your sake. It's not for me. I have no need to be right in your life. I didn't drive up here to correct you or spank you. I'm cheering you on. I'm saying this thing is available. Let's not miss our moment. We got one little life to live and we're here. There's a time to be born and you're born. There's no accident in the room. 500 million sperm cells raced to the egg of your mama and it was you. That's pretty special. One out of 500 million. You think you're one of millions? You're one in millions. 500 million sperm cells raced to mama's egg. And because there's a time to be born and God saw you before you were seen and knew you before you were known, it was you. They're all racing instinctively like a school of salmon. See, I'm in church. School of salmon to the egg. 500 million. Boom, the gun shoots. They're shooting up the stream. You could just backstroke. Because it's you. You don't have to race. It's you. Before the foundation of the world. And just sip your iced tea and just backstroke. Take your time. They're all up there trying to get in. They can't get in. It's you. And people are going to say, my life's a mistake. My life's an accident. I'm not worthy. I don't amount to nothing. It was you from the foundation of the world. Suicide. Well, I'm going to take my life. It's not your life. You're taking his life in you. And you're stopping destiny and you're way deceived. If I took a survey in this room and you were honest, over half the people in this room would tell you at one time in their life, suicide was actually an option for a moment. If we took a survey, you'd be amazed. Why is that? Because Satan is working against the kingdom of God and he can't stop God, so he's sure he can stop you. He doesn't believe people love God. He believes people need God, and there's a huge difference. Because if all you do is need God, you can turn on God. If all you do is need God, you don't have a relationship with God. You just have a prayer list. You want to love not your own life unto death. It's the only way to overcome. Read your Bible. The only way to overcome is love not your own life unto death. And if that's true, you will never compromise. Are you with me? Can I read this finally? I'm trying to give you a chance to heal before I read it, and then I keep swinging. Who is wise and understanding among you? They'll have white hair. No, it doesn't say that. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him prove it by his life, by his conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self seeking in your heart. Do not boast and lie against the truth. In other words, don't appear to be something you know you're not. Deal with it. Get alone with God. Repent. Find grace. Go after change. Don't appear to be something you're not and just lie against the truth. Every argument has come out of self-centeredness. Every discouragement is resting on self-centeredness. Every anxiety, every fear, every anger, every frustration is resting on self-centeredness. You can't be discouraged if you're seeking first the kingdom of God. You won't have animosity with your spouse if you're seeking first the kingdom of God. Come on. If love covers a multitude of sin, why do we have issues? If we denied ourselves, why do we have issues? If love doesn't seek its own and bears up under all things and takes no account of the wrong done to it, all scripture, it's not my sermon, it's all scripture, then why do we have issues? If love doesn't seek its own, is patient, kind, bears up under all things and takes no account of the wrong done to it, why is all our counseling sessions people struggling with people? It shows us that we've bought into a gospel that's not the gospel. It's a gospel that benefits me without transforming me. That's why you do water baptism. Today we're doing communion. Why do we do communion? Because we're gonna partake of everything his blood accomplished, everything his body accomplished. When you eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, you're stepping into everything he paid for and everything he accomplished. You're also saying, you know what? Flesh for flesh and blood for blood. I'm all in. Yeah? Whether I live, whether I die, it's all about you and I'm going after you. I got one road in my life. The other one has a barricade. And when you take that bread today, see, people do it in an unworthy manner. People don't consider the body. They don't consider what he paid for. They do it religiously, traditionally. It says because of that reason, because you don't take heed and don't give your heart to the truth, many of you are weak, sick, and even asleep and died early. Why? Because we haven't considered what he's done. Come on, it's in your Bible. That's not condemnation. That's just helpful. I want him to talk like that to me. Because if there's an answer, I want it. If there's change, I want it. If there's something to shift, I'll shift. Why? Because one day I'm going to stand before him because he was and he is and he is to come. And he made this whole thing for a reason. And I want to make sure I'm in the middle of the reason and not just existing and not just surviving and not just doing my life. I want to make sure I'm doing his. I got this one little window. You got this one little window, wisp and a vapor of time. Here today, gone tomorrow. Let's arise. Let's wake from our sleep and make sure that Christ gives us light. If you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your heart, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom, the wisdom of self-centeredness, it never came from above. It did not come down from God. It's earthly, it's sensual, and demonic. Selfishness, demonic. Watch. For where there is envy and self-seeking existing, confusion and every evil thing is present. Boy, if we were believers, that would sober us. Right? I'm not saying you're not believers. What I'm saying is if we were believers, that would sober us. You would think twice about animosity in your home. You would think twice about the little jab on the end of your comments. You would think twice about the silent treatments you give each other. And manipulation, emotional manipulation, just silent treatments to express your displeasure. Where there's self-seeking, there's confusion and every evil thing present. Who's ever been in the place where they were losing it? They snapped, they were in an argument. And it was so confusing and you hated it, but you didn't know how to handle it. And you got even more mad. And then you threw more logs on the fire and it got hotter and worse and nasty. And all of a sudden it's like, confusion and every evil thing present. So watch this. You go into your room and you're praying and you're only praying because you're hurt, mad, angry, and broken. And you can't believe they did that to you. And it's the only reason you're praying. And you're praying against the devil and you're binding all these spirits. And the whole time your motive is inviting every evil thing. It's scriptural. You don't pray for yourself. You pray for His great name and His sake and the sake of others. You position yourself as Christ crucified. You carry your cross. You don't let sin against you give the right to produce sin in you. You don't repay evil for evil. You overcome evil with good. You're carrying your cross and following Him. It's just plain. If you don't deny yourself, you'll never follow Him. You can sing to Him. You can pray to Him. You can go to church. You can serve in ministry. You can lead worship. But if you don't deny yourself, you'll never follow Him. The goal isn't attending church. The goal is following Him. The goal isn't serving in a ministry. If that's all you do, you'll find your identity through the ministry. You'll find your identity through participating. Your church attendance will take the place of knowing Him. And Christianity will be church attendance instead of relationship with God. It's just true. Just flat out true. Where envy and self-seeking are, confusion and every evil thing is present. But the wisdom which from above, that's from above, is first pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace. By those who make peace. Who's the Prince of Peace? Who's the peacemaker? We're called to peace. Come on, this is not hard to understand. I've given you 100 scriptures this morning. Probably 200. Yay. It's their fault. They made me preach all day yesterday. All day. All day. And then I had to go in a room all alone with the one that I love. Close the door. Be with Him. Sleep for a little. And then come back in here. I feel bad sometimes about it. Because I'm like already in 12th gear. Could you tell when they handed me the mic I was already there? Do you know how many people go to church and they didn't even talk to the Lord in the morning? I'm not being condemning, being real. Didn't even have communion with the Lord. Didn't even fellowship with God. You just came to church. Do you know how many of us, our whole goal is just to get to church? We're just fighting over, well, I thought you woke up with the kids. Well, I thought you had the kids. Well, never mind. Just get, oh, come on. And then you're in the car. Oh, and then we're like, we're going to be late again. I'm so mad. Why don't we? Well, we got to get things together. Yeah, I know. But if you, well, don't blame it on me. And then you get to church. And I know I'm probably embellishing a little, but maybe not a lot. And you rush your kids to children's church and you get to your pew and worship already started and you lay down your stuff and you're like, oh, what? Maybe you just put on the brakes and say, whoa, stop. What are we doing? Look, baby, I love you. Things aren't right. Let's all get together. Let's get the kids. Let's just pray. Let's just worship right now. Let's just calm down. And if we even make it to church under these conditions, let's make sure it's in peace. And let's make sure we've already been with Him. That our relationship with God isn't our church attendance. Our relationship with God is our life in Him and our fellowship. Please don't wake up and just come to church. You're doing yourself a big injustice. Please don't just wake up and go to work and then pray when things get overwhelming. Go to bed in Him, wake up in Him, teach yourself to be in Him. Talk to Holy Spirit and welcome Him and ask Him to empower you and give you wisdom. Follow your convictions. Don't compromise your conscience. And let's all live Christ. We can live Christ. How are we going to be the lights in the world if we're stumbled by issues in one another? If you're frustrated, you're not shining. If you're offended, you're not shining. And who lights a lamp and puts a basket over it? You're a city set on a hill, and you should never be hidden. Come on, it's scripture. You don't even have to like me. You can't deny I'm saying the truth. You can get out. You can be so shallow, you get out to say, well, what'd you think? Well, I think he's a little too dramatic. Okay, great. So that exempts everything I said because it didn't pass through your... Whew, that's self-centered and deceived right there. Well, I hear what you're saying. We're so thin-skinned. Well, I hear what you're saying. I just don't like the way you said it. So what you're saying is I'm not going to hear anything you said because I don't like the way you said it. Shallow. Just remember. Jesus stood in front of people for three, maybe three plus years, the truth himself, and spoke, and they killed him for what he said. That's how deceived men are without God. That they can kill Jesus and not know who he is and have the ability to crucify the Son of God, even though he spoke to them for 3 years. When you listen for what you don't agree with, you'll be sure something's wrong. When you listen to hear God and to grow and to be changed, you have ears to hear. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's obvious to me when he talks like that, there's going to be people that stand before him that wouldn't hear. He even says, be careful how you hear. Why? Because the motive in your heart and the things in your life begin to be the screen on what you hear. So you can have three people in a room say the same thing to all three, and they all come out with a different assessment of what you said. Isn't that something? So that's why I just quote a whole lot of scripture and make a few comments on the back and then quote three more and make a few comments and quote three more. Did you notice that? It's the word of God. So it puts us in a position. Are we believers or church attenders? Are we living him or are we singing to him? Because if we're living him, we'll impact our communities and our spheres of influence. If we're singing to him and we're just doing all-night worship, but we're not shining, we're missing the whole point. You might as well shut down the all-night worship. Because the all-night worship qualifies your Christianity and makes you feel qualified because you worshiped all night. But did you walk in love? Did you shine? Are you making peace? Are you showing mercy? It's not the things we do. It's the things we become that matter. Are you with me? I'm probably done. I'm going to pray. You guys are going to receive communion. Honestly, thanks for letting me be here this weekend. I know it's intense. I know I'm super passionate. I'm not apologizing for it at all. I just trust that you can hear what's crying out of my heart, that you can see that every one of you are qualified to hear it, receive it, and walk in it. And my prayer is that you say yes to the gospel and that you go after God like you've never gone after God. And that you let this thing we're talking about, revival, start with each one of us. Yeah, we're always praying for a move of God. And I think if we really listen, we'd hear God saying, go ahead and move. Yeah. I'm finished. Thank you.